Hello, Capricorn, and welcome to Inner Space, your 2023 reading from Planet Waves. My name is Eric Francis. Thank you for joining me here on a bright, sunny, early winter afternoon in New York, the day after Christmas. These projects are always done with a lot of Capricorn energy to them because I'm often working very late in the year or early in the new year. So here we are once again. The past few years have been brutal on almost everyone. Adapting to all of these unpredictable and unexpected changes and the many complications that have been pushed into our lives, and the need to adapt to too much way too fast for no good reason. We are certainly not experiencing progress, and any adaptation that we do to the events that began, right around the Saturn-Pluto conjunction in your sign in January 2020, is adaptive. We're going to create our way out of this or not, but in terms of the impact on people, individual, warm-blooded humans, sensitive entities who must survive in the world biologically and spiritually and psychologically, not an easy time. You are made of tough stuff as a Capricorn, but that is matched by your extreme sensitivity and an interior quality, intuitive, I think, more than mental, describes Capricorn. Sensory, more than intellectual. Much of the story of 2023's astrology involves the beginning of the transition of Pluto from its trip through your sign, which began in 2008, into the next sign, Aquarius. And that is a big change for everyone, and it is a big change for you, and I trust that there will be some relief, that you may start to see the light, of dawn here. Maybe the light at the end of the tunnel, but of course there's a joke in there that we don't really, not going there. So one of the many reasons that this era, the past 5 or 6 years, have been particularly intense is that Saturn has been moving through your sign and another Saturn-ruled sign very closely related to yours, which is Aquarius. And that, too, is changing. And so we have this very concentrated energy exiting Capricorn, and the ruling planet of Capricorn finally entering a non-Saturn ruled sign and finally entering a water sign for the first time in about 8 years, that being Pisces. So I think that some relief to all of this inward pressure and nonstop having to adapt to outer circumstances may seem to ease off. But one thing I've learned in counseling people about outer planet transits is that they leave their mark, and that it is not necessarily easy to adapt to the new conditions, to the new scenario, because we've grown so accustomed, particularly to a Pluto transit. Pluto transit over one sun can take well over a year. Usually there's planets gathered around the sun, inner planets, and that can stretch a Pluto transit out for 4 or 5 years. And here we're talking about the entire energy field of Capricorn being influenced by Pluto for 14 years. And that is just this sensation of constant, urgent necessity to change, adapt, restructure, and experience what Patrick Walker aptly called enforced growth. And so when a Pluto transit ends, it can have the feeling of some easing off of that enforced growth feeling. And at the same time, there can be the sense of something missing, because that enforced growth was helpful and helped with moving you through changes that might have seemed impossible. And we could ask whether, it's kind of a quantum question, was Pluto precipitating those changes, or was it symbolic of a time in your life when the changes that you've been through were necessary and Pluto just represented what you experienced? I would suggest looking back to 2008, using any, you know, means you have, contemplating what your life was like. I find photographs are evocative of previous times, particularly so distant. And think about all the different ways you might be able to remember who you were before you went through this transit, and the many experiences that were associated with it, and the way that your life intersected with the series of upheavals in society that have pretty much all been centered around Pluto in Capricorn, that including the Uranus-Pluto squares of the 2012 era, relatively early on in Pluto and Capricorn, as well as the conjunction of Saturn and Pluto in 21, in 20, much in between, and then the Pluto Eris square. I mean, it's just been one thing after the next, and if you get the opportunity to feel the silence, give it a try. These transits that often work in the deep background can be a little like the leaf blower outside your house that you didn't notice was driving you nuts until they turn it off. And unlike the leaf blower, though, the concentrated power of Pluto is something you'll want to remember and know how to work with. Now, there are more influences in Capricorn now. A whole new group of minor planets have entered the sign, and I think that what they are doing is enhancing a particular quality of Capricorn, which is the ability to access the past in a useful and coherent way. You have naturally a degree of access to the wisdom of the ancestors. But when we add the kinds of, small, slow objects like Quahar and Pholas, you are something of a teacher and student of the wisdom of the ancestors. And I think that this is something that it is very possible that Pluto has taught you to liberate from all of the constructs of the past and access directly. And particularly Quahar is giving you the ability to go deep into the wisdom teaching that comes from connecting with the land and with your earthy nature. And additionally, in Capricorn right now, there is this very unusual and almost never used kind of astrological visitor called Cupido, which is about gathering of all kinds, gathering around you, and potentially not only the gathering of people, but the gathering of a spiritual quality, a spiritual kind of collective of souls. This may be subtle. It relates to the presence of Quahar, which is an influence that takes us back to the beginning of the human experience. And so there's something primal about your charts right now. There's something original going on that is allowing you, inviting you to connect with the whisperings of the very distant past in a time when we are experiencing an insane lack of cohesion of the human psyche, cohesion of society, cohesion of the institutions that we have depended upon, is all kind of giving way to a crumbling sensation, and the edifice, such as it exists, is largely being held up by belief. And I think you have the insight to go deeper than that belief and to sense the underlying nature beyond the illusions of the time we're in, and to reach something within yourself that is potentially very valuable to yourself and everyone else. Now, this is reflected in a number of other ways in your chart. And I'd like to take the first four or five houses in order, because it works out to be a plot line with some cohesion. And see where we end up when we get halfway through the zodiac, and we'll be mostly done, because that's where almost everything is going on, in the signs Capricorn, through Aries, and out to Cancer. A few other messages coming from what you might call above, in the signs that are symbolically located above the horizon of consciousness, but mostly, as you can see, I know I put a lot of glyphs in on the top part of the chart, but the ones down below are the ones where there's the slow process unfolding. So Pluto is leaving your sign and entering Aquarius, which is the sign associated with your priorities and your values and the resources that you have personal access to, resources that are your own. They're not about what might be yours. They're not about potential. They're not about the possession of a spouse or a trust fund of some kind that really is a distinct entity, but rather your stuff, your talents, your abilities, your tools, and your priorities. And the theme of priorities is a very large theme in almost every reading this year. And that shows up in the sign after your own, after one's own. So there's something interesting going on in the sign after one's own, but nothing quite like Pluto showing up. And what is so interesting about having Aquarius in the second place of your personal priorities is that Aquarius is largely about everyone else. And so this tells me that there's been this superimposition onto you of an expectation that you will conform. You will think the way that others think because that's the way that they expect you to think. And even as Pluto has moved through your own sign, because Capricorn itself has a lot of that. Capricorn itself carries a lot of imprinting of the past, and it comes with an attic with a lot of trunks and dressers in it with all the possessions and stuff of the recent ancestors. You have been dismantling these structures, and these structures of thought and of expectation and of ideology and of orthodoxy and of who you are not. Most learning is about unlearning. To open the way to what you have access to through direct knowledge right now. And Pluto entering Aquarius is going to drive forward now for the next 20 years a reevaluation, but more significantly, focus your power to stand up to all of these expectations and social patterns that are imposing themselves on you and on everyone else. And the last 3 years were meaningless except for an exposition of how powerful those social expectations and patterns and ideologies contained in Aquarius are. Society has become this kind of runaway train of unthought through ideologies that are driven by these propaganda machines known as public relations firms, which have now completely swallowed pretty much the entire media sphere, except like me and a few other people, who have become not merely wholly owned subsidiaries of all of this like monstrous billionairedom, but rather people kind of marching in step to the thing that's supposed to be the cool thing happening now. And this was true in the 60s and the 50s and the hula hoop and all this stuff, but now it is being given to us by like direct infusion, direct to brain infusion. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Wi-Fi signals could not just be picked up by the brain. I kind of hope not. Picked up with the content included, but let's hold out some hope that not everything is like that. So the real source of your power, and we could end the reading here, but we're not. The real source of your power is going to be the ability cultivated, driven by Pluto, to recognize where you stand in the context of these false collectives that are powered by enormous amounts of energy and electricity and repetition. And so there's a few possible sides to Pluto and Aquarius, and one of them is getting overpowered by that Aquarian, dark Aquarian, highly conformist, pattern-making, inherent property in this sign. But the true meaning of Aquarius, I think, is twofold. One is pattern formation and crystallization, part one. Part two, the place where the individual meets the collective. Does the individual stand up to the collective? Does the individual get crushed by the collective? Does the individual say, if you can't beat them, join them? Does the individual march to the beat of their own drummer, which is pretty bold these days? And because Aquarius exists in the angle of your house that is about your priorities and values, to me, the evolutionary journey of Pluto has now turned into you establishing your dominance over these collective patterns that not only have been imposed on you your entire life, but to do so in a time when the juice is being turned up on this imposition of patterns to the point where, let's not pull any punches here, hundreds of thousands of people were fired for not wanting to take poisonous medicine. Lost careers, lost jobs, school principals, police chiefs, airline pilots, doctors and nurses who served valiantly in 2020, firefighters, police officers, ambulance drivers, who have risked their lives every minute, day, and decade of their career, thrown out. That is a lot of social pressure. To stand up to this will take strength. It's not over. That was then. This is now. Now, Pluto in Aquarius represents a kind of massive new wave of more of the same thing. And so you are very fortunate to have Pluto in a place that will focus your priorities and give you the power to hold true to your independence, to your sovereignty, your God-given individuality, your particular version of humanity, as you know yourself and have been getting to know yourself and will continue to get to know yourself. Okay. Next, Pisces, where Saturn is arriving. Now, this is a truly interesting scene of astrology. So what's been going on in Pisces is that for more than a decade, Neptune has been here. And Neptune is said by some to be the planet that rules Pisces. I think it's Jupiter. I stick to a traditional astrology, but there's no denying that there's an affinity between Pisces, the sign, the most oceanic of the signs, and Neptune, the god of oceans, rivers, and earthquakes. And in psychological and spiritual astrology, Neptune presents us with a kind of a delusion, denial, and deception monster, where it is not experienced as sublime inspiration. It is that too, but unfortunately, in the particular world we live in, the kind of sublime inspiration, the beauty of a melody or the subtle observation of light splashing on a texture in that moment that will never, ever repeat itself, the one-of-a-kind thing, is so easily corrupted that it almost does not exist. And to wit, we have seen many of our greatest artists of our lifetimes become propagandists. Now, you've had this in your third house. It has enhanced the urgency of you being able to tune into your intuition. You're born Capricorn, inherently has Pisces as place three. So this is where Capricorn is not nearly as hard-boiled as it is made out to be. Now, there's shadow expressions of every sign. Somebody sent around a joking Jesus through the signs. Jesus as a Pisces was shown collapsed amidst wine bottles. Jesus as Aquarian, blue sunglasses, smoking a cigarette. Jesus Capricorn, fanning out the $100 bills. I don't know. That's kind of a funny joke, but not you. You are much closer to inherent artist, nature girl, nature boy, poet, than you are to, like, stockbroker. This is just my reading of the chart, and also my sense of the signs as I have now done this a while. But look, Pisces, third house. Neptune's going to grossly, greatly, massively enhance that and make it difficult to think clearly and cohesively. But you can think intuitively. The issue is that right? And there's other influences in Pisces, most significantly Nessus, which is cautioning against the consequences of taking the Pisces thing a little too far, in that there has to be validation. There needs to be, for information to be truly useful, it needs to work on a number of different levels. And there's a difference between doing this thing that people call going with your gut, which I don't really understand, and knowing which way is the right way to turn, which has nothing to do with your gut. And also an evaluation that is based on the beauty of the idea. That, too, is not a strict metric. Some absolutely elegant ideas turn out to be useless, but they're nice ideas. So here's where Saturn adds a clarifying factor. Saturn enters Pisces, your third, for the first time in 29 years, in March, and it is finally answering the diffusing, dissembling quality of Neptune, and setting some boundaries around your thought process, which will, in my perspective, tremendously enhance your power of intuition by making sure that it has boundaries. An example of that is astrology itself. Now, what's the difference between astrology and tea leaf reading? Well, if there's a good reader, potentially very little. But the difference with astrology is that there is a structure where everything goes, and a set of underlying principles, such that one astrologer could make a case to another astrologer of what is so. With tea leaf reading, there's no saying, no one else can see the tea leaves that the tea leaf reader is seeing, right? If you've ever done anything like that, there's another space of consciousness has opened up. You're looking at this thing, crystal ball, same idea. The patterns are fleeting. They're moving very quickly because it's your perception that's lighting on them, and then you're translating it into words, and it's almost like you can't go back and reread it. But with astrology, the chart is an artifact. And it's an artifact because it's structured. It has a tangible existence. So Saturn is saying, let's apply that principle of a structured, tangible existence to your thought process. For example, a book rather than notebook jottings. Now, notebook jottings are artifacts also. That's nice. But then comes the gathering of and refinement of. So Saturn is going to give you a lot of that. It may seem in some ways as if your thoughts are heavier, but it's Saturn. It's your planet, and it's in the style of a sign that is very harmonious with yours. Pisces and Capricorn are really a beautiful sign system. As elegant as any opposite pair, Capricorn Cancer, but lacking the oppositional tension. Here it's a sextile, 60 degree collaborative harmonious tension. There's a lot of possible collaboration available. So one cool thing here is that Saturn is going to be in Pisces for the duration of Neptune being in Pisces, and they're both going to enter Aries the same time, from 26 through 27, and then in 27 Saturn catches up with Neptune, and there's a conjunction in the first degree of Aries. That is a chart of the ages. So I'm going to draw that right in pencil. I think after the events of 2023 and the Chiron conjunction to Eris, which I'll get into in 1 second. Very big chart. So, but for now, what you have is a boundary that will help you contain and focus your thoughts, and in particular your writing. So your writing is probably pretty good for a 21st century person, but now you have a superpower that you're being given, and with Saturn you work with its quality by defining the scope of the project, by doing things like setting a word limit, setting a typing style, and developing within a container and saying that's a discrete unit of communication. Could fit a lot of other discrete units of communication, but each discrete unit of communication is what it is for its purpose. Saturn is very driven by purpose. Who's the recipient of this? What's the purpose of this article? What's the purpose of this report? What's the purpose of this letter? Saturn's also encouraging you in Pisces to define certain qualities around what you consider to be your community. So it's going to have a defining, delineating quality of your local community. Particularly, there's other things talking about other communities. Really great stuff for your ability to access the much wider community. That takes place up in water sign Scorpio. However, Saturn, your planet, is going to be living in the world of your immediate surroundings. So this places you, Saturn being the significator for you, one of the most important there are two, in your local environment. Everything knowable within walking distance or short driving distance. It has been difficult there for you lately under such overwhelming influence of Neptune and of Nessus. Nessus coming with its quality of betrayal and the constant coming home to roost of various consequences of different kinds. So, keep your mind on your immediate local world and the commerce transactions going on in your local world. Know people's names and make discoveries. I mean, if you live in a very rural area, well, I mean, I live in quite a rural area, and it is possible to make discoveries. There's all kinds of interesting things hiding in the hills. And if you live in a more urban area, to really get to know every inch of your neighborhood and go in all the stores you would normally not go into, all the things that have no interest to you, even like the plumbing supply operation or, you know, there's all kinds of weird stuff in cities. You want to know all of that. You want to bring yourself into your local community collect names and faces and physical paper business cards and pay for your transactions with physical paper money and say thank you and send people to the places where they help you and make sure people know who you are and what you do. All right, let's take a break. We've covered only one quadrant of the zodiac here: Signs Cap, Aquarius, and Pisces. There's almost as much going on in the next quadrant, and I'll be back with that in just a bit. Before we go to the fourth house, one last thought about the third and the nature of these local and even online commercial transactions wherever possible. I like to think of the transactions that I have through the day as not being about the money, even if they involve money. Normally, people spend money and they feel entitled to the thing that they're getting. And I prefer to think that I receive something, and in exchange, I offer my energy in the form of money, but also in the form of appreciation and value. So that is to say, when I leave the diner that I frequently have breakfast in, and pay my check and leave a high tip because I sit there and write, and as my mom said, pay for your table, I say, thank you for breakfast. Okay. In that spirit, let's go to the fourth. The fourth is what defines Capricorn as such an interior sign. Aries in any chart about a person, talking about, is the place where we seek ourselves. It's a point of, or a zone, perhaps better said, of self-actualization. And here in the fourth place is where you have Aries. And so this contradicts the whole notion of Capricorn as being about climbing and only climbing and stepping on people's heads. That is the imagery of the goat. But that's not how goats are. Goats are exceedingly human. I don't know how many goats you've ever met, but I think they're, besides the dogs, they're pretty much the most human animals in the barnyard, except followed closely by the pigs, who also like to say hello, and everybody likes to say hello, but the goats are pretty darn human, and they are interested in people, and that is an there's an introspective quality about any being who is interested in people. So, goat and ram, the fourth, are very similar, and rams, I'm not sure if you've ever met one of them, but some of them are practically ballerinas. They and can pose as still as a statue and then leap to another place and then strike a pose as still as a statue. I once spent a good 5 minutes staring at one trying to figure out if it was a stuffed doll, because it didn't move. And then I turned around, or it decided to move, and then it landed on the porch of this same place in a kind of a pseudo taxidermist pose, but obviously it was completely animated by the life force. Anyway, Aries in the fourth is your home is within your security, your sense of being, your sense of presence is within you. It's not really in the world. It goes into the world through a relationship process, as does almost everyone. But remember, Aries, inward, fourth house, security, safety, the immediate estate. Third, community, fourth house is the household estate. You've had Chiron moving through here for about 5 years. That has radically invited you to ground into your interior home space. There are other factors here as well. I'm not sure that they're so germane, except to say that home is where you can have any sex you want. Salacia in the fourth. The thing about home, in my opinion, and remember, I'm a bit Reichian and a lover of Fritz Perls and things like this, but your home is where you determine what is appropriate for you. Salacia. If someone can come into your home and decide that something is or isn't appropriate for you, on behalf of you, and then that's not your home. So, this is essential to the trust factor of home, the security factor of home, the who has a key. You decide who has a key. You can give anybody you want a key. Me, the FedEx man, absolutely no one. Whatever. But you decide. Because it's your home. All right. Jupiter's here. Jupiter is going to be here till May. Jupiter is inviting you to make home, be home, in your home, improve your home, do things that make it a cozier, better functioning place where it is easier and more facilitating of the life you want. Need not cost a lot of money. The world is awash in stuff. There may be some expense involved, but there's plenty of stuff, and there's your ability to arrange it, work the feng shui, that's a bit Chiron, and there's going to be Chiron conjunct Jupiter, work the feng shui of your space. But the ultimate feng shui of your home is that it suits you, your psychic nature, your growth, your experience, your work, you. Ta-da, fourth house. So Jupiter's on the move. Jupiter's going to blow through the fourth. It's going to make conjunctions to Salacia first, Chiron second, Eris third. One last point. It is very common for people to make their home on the internet, and you need, I believe, needs powerful word, but to make sure that you have a home in consciousness that is not digital. Personally, in my life, I find the kitchen is the best place for that. It's the one place in my house where, apart from what may be in the any transistors in the refrigerator, which they're unlikely to be, no digital devices whatsoever. So having a digital-free zone in your home will help you be at home on the physical plane. Taurus continues this theme. Now, you have a fabulous sign on the 5th. Capricorn, the arrangement of signs and houses for Capricorn is awesome. And one of the really great bits of Capricorn is Taurus on the 5th. So your creativity is a physical, sensual, sensuous matter. It's not abstract. Your spirit wants to build things out of blocks of wood and rocks and dirt and clay and arrange flowers and take care of plants and gardens and be in harmony with the critters and the divas who live among the plants and the flowers and the worms. Earthy. Capricorn's an earth sign. You have an earthy expression of your creativity. And it is saying be bold. Now, Uranus has been here. Uranus is more than halfway through its trip through Taurus, and Uranus does infuse an electrical digital manifestation into whatever it touches. And I would say, you know, you don't need any digital devices in your garden. And if you're going to make digital art, then make digital art. But remember that it's not the same thing of as Earth. And bear in mind that all wealth comes from the Earth. So as you engage in your process of utilizing wealth or building it or whatever, remember that it is ultimately an earthy point of contact. Okay, sixth place, Gemini. So the sixth is work and well-being. And you've had Mars retrograde there, so there's been a little bit of tension around the work and the well-being angle and the reconciliation of opposites. The certain domestic elements have influenced your work and well-being elements. The reason I can say that is because work and well-being have Mars there currently. Mars comes out of your fourth, Aries, and other places too, but primarily comes out of your fourth for our purposes. So there's a, especially for the most of 22 and or a bunch of it, and then a bunch of 23, study the relationship between home and work and well-being. The work environment you need is brightly lit. It is social. It is not oppressive. There should be good air where you work. There are a lot of places where people work that have very bad air. I went to visit an accountant's office the other day, and I sat down, and my ears stuffed up in a matter of minutes. Like, I could hardly hear. It never happened before. Maybe flying around in an airplane, the cabin pressurized to 10,000 feet, okay, but not just walk down the street and go into someone's office and suddenly I feel like I'm inside this pressure bubble. Terrible air. Windows didn't open. She had an air purifier, which helped, but so you need good air. Gemini, all about air, all about lung quality. So make sure that where you work, work in a place where the windows open, where there's natural sunlight, where there's cross ventilation, this kind of thing. And where you can talk. There are a lot of workplaces that are like that are like being in the third grade, where if you say one thing, I don't know how it works today, you know, you're issued a demerit. Well, that's not going to work for you. You need the water cooler, and you will find the best ideas happen. Like if you're stuck, you go to the water cooler and you hang out, you get a glass of water and stare at the bulletin board. Somebody comes along, they've got an idea for you. They shake your molecules. Mars will station direct in January the 12th. It'll kind of seem to sit in 1 degree for a while, and then it's going to gradually crank up its speed. It'll make its third square to Neptune. So there's a series of squares to Neptune's going on. So here is a mental clarification process, and the Mars square Neptune process, which was square in October, square in November, square in March, direct, retrograde, direct, written a bunch about this, is about a clarification process of what you know to be true and what you then do about it. Because the know to be true is the squared Neptune. The what you do about it is Mars. Mars takes action. If you're going to have a book chapter about Mars, it would be called Mars Takes Action. I'm kind of writing a book as I go through these signs. Like I'm getting ideas like, now I've done these annual readings 25 times, not counting the years I did it twice. Audio and written. There's some ideas in here. Mars will cross the seventh cusp. It'll make conjunctions to Chaos and Asbolus. Now, that's interesting. There's a kind of event horizon around the seventh. There is a better said as a line of liminality, where things go from existing in a kind of potential to existing in the world and existing in relationship. And so there's some relationship energy that happens in March, like an increase in heat and emphasis and things coming at you, potentially. Make sure that you handle it in a cool way rather than a hot way. There may be some provocation to respond in a hot way. Definitely don't want to respond in a hot way. You want to respond in a cool way. Kind of diffuse the energy. See yourself in it a little bit. Mars is one of the rulers of Capricorn. It's exalted. So see yourself in there a little bit. Now, there are interesting presences in Cancer. One thing that you're having to learn how to do is deal with important, seemingly important, or self-important people. People who either are VIPs, should be VIPs, or who definitely shouldn't and definitely aren't, but think they are. Kronos in Cancer. K-R-O-N-O-S. Kronos in Cancer. All right. Eighth place. Here's one of the highlight events of 2023. Venus retrograde in the eighth. This is going to be a reassessment of your investments and your mutual involvements with people. It's, I think, overall an excellent thing to happen in the eighth house, as long as there's a lot of evaluation going on. That takes place basically June through October, early June through early October. It is a great time to work with partners where there's mutual investment, people invested in you, people in whom you're invested, people with whom you hold investments together, contracts that involve merging of resources like marriage. That's the very essence of the eighth house, is the merging of resources through marriage and death. As William Lilly said, death, dowry, and the substance of the bride. And that doesn't mean how big her boobies are. It's how much money daddy has in his wallet, or granddaddy. It's how big is that dowry, the substance of the bride. Something's never changed. If the eighth is about the substance of the bride, if you have Venus retrograde in Leo, in the eighth, the sign of gold, the bride is of substance. But be creative. Be creative together. Right? Because this Venus comes out of your fifth, Taurus, and it comes out of your tenth, Libra. Short message of Virgo, the spiritual life, a little bit about the details. More about whether you're welcome in the ashram. Who fucking cares what they believe or they say they believe on all the scrolls in the ashram or the temple? The question is, when you go there, are you welcome? Very large red question mark. Next case, 10th house. So here we encounter Libra, a relational sign. Your ideal career and your reputation is relational. The key to success of Capricorn when it goes to the top is it knows how to work its friends and associates and allies. Capricorn, it's not... I've got to go back and look at the old books and see where this concept of like Capricorn is like the trampling. I mean, there are some. I've known a couple, but mostly the Capricorns I know are much humbler than that. And I think the ones who genuinely succeed and are happy with their success are the ones who understand that success is a relational process. You work with people. You help them in any way that preserves your integrity and theirs. Right? It's not about necessarily doing favors that violate your integrity or asking people to do favors that violate your integrity. It's like, well, here's how I can help you. Maybe they'll say, here's how I can help you. Here's how you can help me. And not necessarily transactional. You have to trust there's going to be a balance at some point. Right? It's not transactional. It's not quid pro quo. Your 10th house is not. Libra is not quid pro quo. Meaning, bribery. Quid pro quo is like, give the police chief $5,000 and they stay away from the drug dealer. Nah. Maybe if a pot dealer helps the cops catch a rapist, the cops have better things to do than worry about a pot dealer. But we're really talking about an element of beauty. It's relational, but there's relational beauty. And there's one other thing, which is that your language is your key to success, particularly when dealing with authority figures and the government. So master understatement, not cryptic statement, but understatement. Let the logic lead to one thing and learn how to take full possession of your words, and you will succeed in new and exciting ways. Scorpio, Apollon, the gathering, the super Jupiter, the tremendous potential commercial success here. May not be interesting to you, but this is activated through the social experience and through the deep conversations in the social experience. I was at a dinner last night with someone who holds considerable official power. And sitting there eating turkey on Christmas with a couple of cousins around, I learned a lot about a story I'm working on. I got a map of consciousness. Deep contact. So that's an example. Deep contact in a social environment directed at a purpose. So you're in you are ideally suited to like work a cocktail party where you have exactly the right 5-minute conversation with everyone. No chit-chat involved. Hello, yes, you know, human contact. And then we get to the point, and then we say, thank you, I love you, catch you next time. Last sign involved, Sagittarius as your 12th house. Does it get better? The 12th is the most spiritual house in that it's the portal to the cosmos. The 8th is the portal to the in-laws. The 4th is the portal to grandma and grandpa and daddy. But the 12th is the portal to the cosmos, and Sagittarius is the sign of the cosmos. Whatever else is motivating you, there is a spiritual infusion coming through that would rightly inform every last thing that you do. That's the definition of integrity. If you follow that up with the highly appropriate use of words and being rooted and grounded in your home, you're pretty much as unstoppable as a person can be. So have fun. I am thrilled that Pluto is making its way out of your sign for your sake. Collectively, Pluto and Aquarius is going to present some real challenges, but we've been facing those challenges for a long time. Anything that emerges that can be pointed to as Pluto in Aquarius has been going on for a while. And it is the Pluto's presence in Aquarius that is saying, okay, this is the thing. It was already there. But it's like kind of in the relationship between a field and a particle in quantum physics. It's a field until you look at it, and then it's a particle. So the field is Aquarius, and then we look at it, oh, and this particle appears, Pluto, this beautiful six-faceted atom. But it was always there. It was always going on. All right. Thank you for your time, your business, and most of all, for your trust. I'll catch you a little further on down the road. Bye for now. Thank you.